KMAN.
And good morning. Welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples, pleased to be joined here today. We don't get this very often, so whenever we do, we are very appreciative. Lieutenant Governor Lynn Rogers joining us in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I understand you're in town here for the Governor's Public Health Conference.
Yes, I just got to speak to public health officials from all over the state of Kansas this morning here in Manhattan.
Okay. And that's going on, what, today and tomorrow?
Today and tomorrow, I believe. They've got a number of speakers. Secretary Lee Norman addressed them this morning, and they've got seminars and sessions all day. So it's an exciting group. I mean, they've had this governor's tour governor's conference for a number of years, and to see them all come together, I think it's the largest attendance they've had at this one for years. So.
Okay. Well, good to hear that. Obviously, public health, a big concern here, especially this week. We heard from Governor Laura Kelly yesterday really pushing for action to happen on Medicaid expansion.
Yes. I think, we're halfway there. The House has approved it, but she really asked that the Senate, see if democracy will work and that, our elected officials will actually discuss an issue that's important to a lot of Kansans.
Now, those who don't know, why is she pushing so hard for it this week in particular?
Well, this is the Friday is the end of the first part of the session. It's called the first adjournment. And so they'll come back. They'll be gone for most of April, and then they'll come back and finalize a few things in early May. And so there's not a lot of days left. We're, I think, day 70 of a 90-day session, and then they always reserve a few days for sine die and some of those things. But, we've had 70 days where the legislature could have talked about it. And the Senate has just refused this. The House approved it with a bipartisan group, both Democrats and Republicans, 2 weeks ago, and there's been no movement. And the Senate leadership has just basically called for another interim study, which is really just a code word for stall and delay.
Now, were you surprised that the House was able to find some way? Because I know that the GOP leadership has been noted. They've been trying to block this.
Yeah, they've done everything they can, refusing to talk about it. They've refused to schedule hearings. And they've even, in many cases, refused to talk about any issue that could be related to health so that it could be amended. And that's what happened in this one bill, was that the supporters of Medicaid felt it could be amended. The rules chair ruled against them, and then they overruled the rules chair, which is very uncommon. So it really told me that there was a large group of Republicans and Democrats that wanted to talk about it, and they felt like at least at a minimum there needed to be a debate on the floor.
Well, let's talk about the bill a little bit. I know it is got a lot of bipartisan support, Republicans
yes.
and Democrats supporting it here, and it, I think the vote was pretty overwhelming.
70 to 43 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, you only need 63 to pass it. So there were more than enough to get it passed.
Well, how does it compare to the bill 2 years? Because I hear there's a lot of similarities.
It's almost very similar. They have amended a couple things that have made it different. But, we put in parameters that if the federal government changed the 90-10 split, which is a big argument, then that would, that the bill or the program would go away. That was reiterated in the amendments. The House did add a premium for those who would be participating. It'd be $25 a person or $100 per family, which generates quite a bit of the money that is needed to pay for the bill in the first place. One of the arguments against it is that it's too expensive. It's a benefit program that we can't afford. Well, the problem with it is, as a state, we've already spent $3.2 billion of our tax money that has gone to Washington to pay for other states' health care. And so we really have been not real good stewards of our own money. This will cost around $30 million a year on an annual basis. The premiums will generate up to $20 million. And then we also save a lot of money in other agencies. Young women who are pregnant can get on this earlier, so they can have better care for their children, and we cover it at 90-10 instead of the current 56-42 or 44%, and so there's savings there that will more than pay for this program in the end. And it doesn't include the 38,000 potential jobs that could be created, the tax income that comes with that, the fact that people will be healthier, more people will be working. There's just a lot of benefits that don't get built into the cost analysis.
Now, I heard you say $30 million as an estimate. That's for the first year, correct?
We've got 14.9 in our budget is what we submitted to pay for the first half year. And so a whole year is about $30 million.
Okay. I've seen other estimates of the Kansas Health Institute saying that it would be closer to $47.4 million in the first year. And I know that some of our lawmakers here have, especially the Republicans, I'll just mention Ron Hyland of note, he's not so sure that these numbers are accurate here or what the exact cost is going to be. Is it possible to get a better estimate on what it will cost?
Well, the Health Institute's probably good. One of the things that will help is if we can pass it, we will get some estimates from our tax revenue folks over the break. And so they can tell us because it'll be based on patient load. The Health Foundation said about 130,000. And there are some things. They said about 30,000 kids will be insured. They're currently eligible under a 46-44% match from the federal government. So that will cost a little bit more. That's where the difference between our $30 million and probably the $46 million come into. Those kids are eligible now, and and one of the things that's I think it's important to note is that we need those kids insured now so that they have better health, that they have vaccinations, so that the rest of our community is healthy as well.
And just so, and we're speaking with Lieutenant Governor Lynn Rogers here on News Radio KMAN's In Focus. Just so people are clear here, those that aren't currently covered, where's the cutoff here for CanCare?
Well, it's based on how much they make, and so they're in what's called the gap. They don't make enough for they make too much for the marketplace insurance, but they make too much for the regular CanCare. In many cases, these are people that are holding two or three jobs. They're part-time at one place because the company doesn't want them to work enough hours to qualify for health care, or the company doesn't provide it. Some cases, they're working two or three jobs. And again, that's one of the arguments against this, is they don't want able-bodied people to get a benefit. Well, the problem with that is 60% of these people are already working. They have a job, sometimes two jobs. They're really underemployed because they're not making enough for what they need to do. Another big chunk, 13 to 15%, are elderly or people that aren't quite old enough to get the senior care. And then there's a number of these folks that are partially disabled. They may start showing signs of MS or some other developmentally disabled disablement. And what happens then is they're not disabled enough to qualify for CanCare, but they're not capable of working a full-time job. So, there's a lot of folks that would be covered, your friends and your neighbors that really need insurance to have a healthier life.
All right. Well, I know there's some uncertainty at the national level here with the future of the Affordable Care Act, and I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts here. And there's been some discussion about maybe the Trump administration repealing Obamacare, as it's known, at some point. What would be the state's answer then if that were to go away? How would we cover these people?
Well, I was just in Washington last week for the National Lieutenant Governor's meeting and got to also speak with almost all of our elected officials. And many of them told me that they didn't think that the president's plan to do away with Obamacare was even going to get any traction at all. And one person told me, he says, well, we've been trying to fix it for 10 years and we haven't been able to change it, and thinks it's a real waste of their time. So I think that's what will happen. I mean, the House is under Democratic control, so they're not going to make any changes to it in that regard. And I think there's one of the arguments often is that the federal government can change this 10% match, where the state has to put up 10% and the feds will pay for 90. The problem with that is that in order for that to happen, the Congress has to rule. It's not – the president can't make an edict on it. A bureaucrat can't change it with his pen. It has to be an act of Congress. And so we don't think that's going to happen. But we do have in our bill that if it does, then this program for the state of Kansas would go away. So we are protected. I think it was described in the House as a poison pill, so to speak. But it keeps us from continuing to fund it if that's what happens. So we have some protections built into the bill so that we're not on the hook if we're not getting the 90% match.
And that sounds like a kind of a negotiating piece here. And maybe that's where you guys kind of came together.
Right. I think that's where what allowed a number of the House members to support it. And I think one of the things that's important to know is when this passed in 2017, we had about 70 votes in the House. And we had 25 votes in the Senate. 24 of those senators are still there. So there is, I think, a will in the Senate to pass it, but leadership is refusing to even consider it. And again, I think it's one of those things where, you know, even the senators that disagree with it, they owe their constituents the right to talk about it. Because in surveys, 77% of Kansans approve of Medicaid expansion. You know, it was a national study done by a national group. And, you know, and again, 70% of the states, both red and blue, I mean, Democratic-led states, Republican-led states have already expanded it. 36 states and the District of Columbia have expanded Medicaid expansion. So we really are missing the boat. And we've learned a lot from all those other states. You know, we've seen that those that have expanded Medicaid, they've seen a decrease in poverty. They've seen about a 50% cut in infant mortality. You know, there's a lot of benefits that we don't even, you know, talk about from expanded health care. And, you know, it would cut – there are some counties in the state of Kansas where the lack of insurance is over 20% of the population does not have insurance. That's affecting – our hospitals tremendously. You know, they don't have money to pay their bills, or they're preventing, or they're limiting themselves, so to speak, to even go to the hospital. And so then that creates problems long term for health conditions that get worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Lieutenant Governor Lynn Rogers, our guest here on News Radio KMAN's In Focus. I want to just quick remind people we're not taking phone calls here as Lieutenant Governor has just a brief time here with us here this morning. We're pleased to have him on the air. Want to talk to you more about the hospital aspect of it. Mm-hmm. We've seen some hospitals close here, and I don't know if maybe that's tied into the them not being able to, you know, pay their expenses here, but I imagine that that has a big part of it.
Yeah, it isn't the only reason, but as the mayor of Horton, you know, or Holton described it, that, you know, he's very frustrated that we haven't done it. In almost all of these cases, it would not have saved the hospital, but it would have given them more time. In the case of Holton, it would actually have allowed them to pay their employees some of those ending wages that didn't get paid. And it does affect them. You know, for the two hospitals here in Manhattan, it would cover about $2.5 million of their uncompensated care. You know, these hospitals in our state, they're paying for that uncompensated care now. And so that's costing all the rest of us more, you know, on our expenses of and our insurance plans. So, you know, you think about what $2.5 million would do to the economy, you know, here in Manhattan, it'd be huge.
And as far as the mental health piece of this, I know that's another aspect that the governor's been talking about. That's a key priority.
Yes.
How would this help with the mental health discussion?
Well, I think it would allow a lot more people to get treatment, and then those mental health facilities would actually get paid. I was in Dodge City yesterday, and the Compass, 78% of their patients are Medicaid, but they feel like some of their potential customers don't even walk in their door. And so then they get to a point where they're in a crisis mode, and it's a much worse condition as if they did come in for regular treatment or get their medicines and things like that. So what we've seen is that mental health services now are being paid for by the local counties and cities. You know, the third largest mental health facility in the state of Kansas is the Sedgwick County Jail. So your jails are paying for these services out of local tax dollars. And so, again, if they're covered under Medicaid, that would save all of us a lot more money.
That's interesting. I never thought about it that way, but
yeah.
That's not a bad point. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to have more with Lieutenant Governor Lynn Rogers here on News Radio KMAN after this.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain Performance Series.